Vegas, baby, Vegas!
At the end of the game, you count up your money. That's how you find out who's best.
If all my bets were safe, there just wouldn't be any juice.
The point spreads, the prop bets, the teasers, the parlays. From Vegas to you, this is Behind the Bets.
Welcome in to a post-Super Bowl Behind the Bets podcast. I'm Doug Kazarian. We're taping this on Wednesday, February 6th. Mr. Director John Murray will be joining us to gather all the thoughts, pick up the pieces, and let us know how everyone did with the Super Bowl. Kai, did you see that crow on the desk I left for you?
Oh, man.
Just checking. Man. Just checking if you saw that.
I'm still trying to recover from that.
Are you hungry to eat that crow?
Not hungry at all. But
no touchdowns in the first half. How'd that feel?
You know, I got to give you props, man. No pun intended. That was awesome.
Yeah, well, you know, blind squirrel finds enough. No, we'll get into it with Mr. Director, but look, there's just the value there. That's what we talked about. I didn't say it was definitely going to happen. I even interrupted you to reinforce that I didn't think it was going to happen, but I felt like 100-1 was ridiculous. And look, these types of games occur all the time. Usually it's a Jacksonville Colts game, 6-0 or whatever that score was during the regular season, but there were a lot of things that suggested not only low scoring, but just it could happen like that. But anyways, I don't want to pull a muscle, patting myself on the back too hard.
Yeah, please.
I was on the Rams as well, a lean at least, and then you know, some other props that didn't all hit. But it was fun. Fun the trash talking. It was almost as if like you predicted Rutgers to beat Michigan and Rutgers won the game. Almost.
I mean, being that the McCourtney twins won the Super Bowl, that's almost like Rutgers.
There you go.
In my world, that's like Rutgers.
All the Piscataway cheering.
That's right.
So, big news in the NBA with some trades and Anthony Davis mess. We'll recap that at the end. Looking forward to Mr. Director. Kai, how did you take in the Super Bowl?
Stayed home, cooked for the family, had some in-laws come over. Man, it was not an entertaining game. I think half of my house was watching The Bachelor or something.
Oh, come on now.
After the halftime show, everybody kind of scattered.
That's blasphemy.
Well, hey, blame Belichick.
Yeah, all right. That's fair. Well, man, the season is over. We'll get into it. By the way, there was not a record handle for the Super Bowl in Nevada Gaming. It was lower than last year. The Nevada Gaming had announced a record handle in 4 of the last 5 years, so not this year. Obviously, other states contributing. So in terms of legal betting in the United States, it was a record handle when you add all the other states. And we'll get into that with Mr. Director John Murray momentarily, but this is the final football podcast of the 2018-19 season.
He started as a ticket writer.
Well, the handle has gotten a lot higher here in the last hour.
Now he's a race and sportsbook director.
I have the guys at work here calling me Mr. Director and not looking directly into my eyes.
With people.
Brought in a whole new staff this year. It's kind of a Seinfeld-esque move where we just rotate the guys so the material doesn't get stale, Doug.
What happened in between? A hot tub and ESPN.
Kicking is for losers.
And boy, was that evident in the Super Bowl. Mr. Director, good to connect with you as we put a bow on this 2018-2019 NFL season.
If you can believe it, Ed and I were sitting back there at the end of the game, and we actually agreed with New England's decision to kick the field goal to go up 13-3, ending the game, winning them the Super Bowl. That was one time where I actually thought kicking the field goal was the right decision.
Interesting. I did not, given Gostkowski looked so shaky earlier and the distance that was needed for a first down.
Well, we had a little bias there. I got to give you full disclosure. We really wanted them to kick the field goal. If the game had landed between 8 and 14 points, that would have been a very big loser for us. That betting on that was available at 500-1 here at the Superbook. We would have taken a big loss there. The game landing between 15 and 20 was a much better result for us. So we had a little bias there.
Okay, good to have that transparency. Let's get into the props momentarily, but I thought both coaches were extremely conservative with the punting. around definitely midfield. Were. That's what I was alluding to earlier.
And my biggest complaint with either of the coaches, McVay, he never tried anything. It was obvious that the offense they were running was not working. It was obvious that New England had a great defensive game plan, and he never seemed to try anything. Shake it up a little bit, maybe go to a no huddle, maybe try to call some gadget plays. He just sort of accepted that he couldn't move the ball and just let the game go by. I thought McVay really choked is a harsh word, but it's probably appropriate here.
You know, I agree, and I think the overarching sort of takeaway, and if you want to umbrella this, is that I think it's just a lack of sense of urgency is manifested by the inexperience shining that way, because we saw it with the Chiefs. How flat did Kansas City look? And they just didn't even feel like they started trying until the second half. They were just going through the motions, especially the defenders not flying at the ball, right? It goes back to that Chargers game against the Patriots, how ready the Patriots were given the flat spot that it was for L.A. So I was really disappointed. I almost think Dan Marino should go speak to these teams and explain how he went to the Super Bowl so early in his career thinking he'd get back, and he never did.
Yeah, well, Sean McVay is only 33 years old, and I think he's got a very big career ahead of him. I'm not exactly going out on a limb there, but certainly I thought he was very lucky in the NFC Championship game. He made a very poor decision to kick a field goal and then only ended up winning that game because of the egregious non-call and what was clearly pass interference. And then this past Sunday, he was thoroughly outcoached by Bill Belichick. Not the first person to have that happen to him. But certainly he wasn't ready for that stage, and he wasn't ready to take on Bill Belichick.
That's for sure. And he said it afterwards, said he was outcoached. But I'm sick of seeing – I just want these teams to have a sense of urgency and have some aggression. And clearly, whether it be a talk show host or a podcast host or just a sports fan, I tend to oversimplify things. And that's certainly not something you can do when it involves the position of quarterback. And when it came down to it, some guy's just 24 years young going against Belichick, and who had 2 weeks to prepare for him, and it's very complicated. Goff did not play horrendous. It was a well-played defensive game, but he had opportunities that he did not take advantage of.
Yeah, and maybe come out for the second half. I think the Rams had the ball first in the second half. Why not come out on that first drive and go to a no huddle? Maybe just try to shake something up, see if something works. Because what they were doing just simply was not working, and it was disappointing to see them just stick with it and just keep doing, trying nothing, basically. And I guess my hat's off to Bill Belichick, because once again, I don't think he had the most talented team. And once again, he came out on top. So what can you say about Belichick at this point?
No, you really can't. And I brought it up. It's kind of silly that Brady, the win-loss record for quarterbacks, I hate. We all know that.
Oh, so
I mean, just think about how great Brady was in last year's Super Bowl.
Yeah,
and how limited
he
was
in this year's Super Bowl.
And he goes 1-1, but the wrong stats correlate with the wrong outcome.
It's funny. And then the one last year is remembered in his legacy as a Super Bowl loss. Threw for 505 yards, and his defense gave up 41 points. And then this past Sunday, Brady didn't really do anything other than check down to his running backs or hit Edelman when Edelman was open over the middle. But it goes down as a Super Bowl win because his defense limited the other team to 3 points. So it really illustrates what a foolish way that is to judge players by team wins and losses. It makes no sense, and it never will.
Well, what I say is you can't have it both ways. You can't put it all on the quarterback and then on the other side of your mouth say it's the ultimate team game, right? Literally fundamentally contrasting concepts.
Absolutely. And it is the ultimate team game. And Brady is a great player, but you don't want to judge these guys based on – well, we don't need to go down this rabbit hole, but I'll never understand the argument of using Super Bowl losses as an argument against somebody. You have to get to the Super Bowl
right to
have a Super Bowl loss. You know why Eli Manning never lost a Super Bowl, Kai? Because he only made the playoffs four or five times in his career.
Oh, come on. Really? How do we find our
just,
way in here?
No, I'm just saying it's a ridiculous way to – Peyton Manning lost so many big games because he was in so many big games. Tom Brady's lost 3 Super Bowls because he's been to the Super Bowl 9 times. It's a ridiculously stupid argument. It makes no sense. You have to get there to lose there. I'll never understand that argument. It makes no sense to me. Never will.
We hear it for Jordan and LeBron at the NBA Finals.
Right, yeah. Well, Jordan, obviously, I'm not knocking Jordan, but he never lost in the finals because in the 80s he could never get out of the Eastern Conference playoffs. He lost earlier in the postseason to the Celtics or the Pistons. So he never lost in the finals. It's just an argument that makes no sense at all.
Murray, we don't want to get too sidetracked. Is Eli Manning a Hall of Famer? But
I don't think so.
Yes.
But he will make the Hall of Fame, but
that
I don't think he's a Hall of
so
Famer.
So laughable to me. A guy who was never even drafted in fantasy leagues is going
I think he'll make the Hall of Fame.
I know. No, I'm saying it's laughable if he is. Like, it's just.
Well, yeah. And I also don't think Julian Edelman is a Hall of Famer.
Of course he's not.
That's an argument that's
kind of. Well, we had Kai here. So, Kai, you're saying yes for Eli. Why?
Absolutely.
Why?
I mean,
absolutely.
Put away the fact that I'm a fan and everything like that. I mean, you are right that, you know, he's only had minimal playoff appearances, and those couple playoff appearances that he did have, they won the Super Bowl. But they, in those games, when he rose to the occasion at the most.
Should Robert Horry be in the Hall of Fame?
I think so. Yeah, I think Robert Horry should. Robert Horry is clutch. He's probably one of the most clutch.
He was clutch, but Horry was also smart enough to hitch his wagon to the Lakers and the Spurs teams later.
So he didn't start.
Two things can be true.
So you're just saying, from like a basketball fan or a football fan, like it should be all inclusive for a lot of reasons, not just straight production and excellence and being the best over your era.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. I mean, we can look at the very tangible statistical evidence that proves that, you know, we know the elite quarterbacks. We know the Tom Brady's, the Drew Brees.
Should Nick Foles be a Hall of Famer?
No. I mean, no. We'll see what happens. We don't know the future, but as of right now, no. I mean.
But I mean, he's a Super Bowl MVP, won a Super Bowl, and had a nice playoff run dish.
Well, I like Eli Manning.
I mean, to play in New York for all these years and. You know, that should be an award in itself in the New York market.
Stop being.
The 49ers kid fumbles two punts, including one in overtime. That's how they got to that Super Bowl.
Oh, what a great game. In the rain. So dramatic.
And then, you know, Tom Brady made a great throw to Wes Welker that Welker dropped that would have pretty much clinched that Super Bowl. Welker drops the ball. New York ends up winning the game. So that goes on Tom Brady's resume as a Super Bowl loss. It makes no sense.
Hey.
There's no point. But there's no point in even arguing with people about it because people are so obsessed with that team win and loss thing as a barometer of players. There's no reasoning with those people.
That I agree
with,
Murray. I can concede.
These people
that.
Are too far gone to even argue with in my mind.
I'm sorry I went off on this tangent. I was trying to give Kai an opportunity to save himself after the crow he's had to eat. For mocking me for suggesting that it would be some value there to play the first half no touchdowns prop.
Incredible pick, DK. My hat's off to you. I certainly remembered that you made that pick, and it was something we definitely lost on. It was one of our two biggest losers on Sunday in the prop markets. The other one was Julian Edelman being the MVP of the game, and we were getting a little nervous there, guys, like mid to late third quarter because, you know, we'd been telling all of our bosses all week how we want it to be a boring game. We don't really want anything to happen in the game. We didn't want it to be that boring because if there hadn't been a touchdown at all in the game, it would have been really ugly for us here.
All right, so people actually bet no touchdown in the entire game?
Yeah, we had a lot. We would have taken – it would have been our most catastrophic Super Bowl prop loss ever at this book.
What was the largest dollar figure on that bet you took for one
dollar
one entry?
Figure? I don't know. I mean, it was small, but it was just a lot of really small bets at 500 to 1 or whatever it was. I mean, it was just it was so those kind of tickets add up fast, man. And I heard about other books around town that really got crushed because the Rams scored exactly 3 points. You know, you're taking a lot of small bets in there, and it just adds up in a hurry. And it would have been a huge loss for us here if there had been no touchdowns. I mean, we got to a point there at the end of the third quarter where we just wanted somebody to score a touchdown. Obviously, we would have preferred a Rams touchdown, but we needed somebody to get into the end zone.
What was your other big loss on the prop market?
Edelman MVP.
You mentioned that, sorry.
That was a, That was a really big one. We were hoping they would give it to Sony Michel. I was hoping they would just give it to Brady just because of the idiotic he's the winning quarterback argument. You never know. They gave Brady the MVP of the first Super Bowl where they beat the Rams 17 years ago, whatever it was. They gave Eli Manning MVP when they beat the Giants in 07, or the Patriots in 07. Sometimes they just give the MVP to the winning QB. We were hoping for that, but I thought they correctly gave it to Julian Edelman. But let me give a little bit of credit here to Ed Sammons because he deserves it. That pick the final score for the Rams market, we had 80-1 on that, and that was a very deliberate number that Ed put up because he remembered that in the past, sharp groups had played anything over 100-1 on exactly 3 points by either of the teams. And I've heard some reports of some other books around town that had 400, 500-1 on that and got crushed because the Rams scored exactly 3 points.
Yeah, South Point, we ran it earlier this week, $250 bet that paid $100,000.
Yeah, and
Rams
I heard
exactly
it wasn't
three.
It wasn't just the South Point. And Ed very deliberately had both New England and L.A. at 3 points at 80-1 to stay under 100-1. He kept all those wise guys off that play, and he ended up saving the Superbook hundreds of thousands of dollars with that decision.
So why do you think that is? Why do they play the 100-1? And I know the math of it, and that was my thought process with the no-touchdown first half. If these two teams played 100 games, you're going to have no touchdown a lot more than one time per 100 games.
Well, why do they do it? I don't know exactly. I mean, we really would have to ask them. But Ed said he remembered that over the years, some of our really respected prop groups – Anytime that exactly three was over 100-1, he always took bets on it. And remarkably, we actually won money on the Rams scoring exactly 3 points. So that was a huge, huge swing for us. That and what I mentioned, the game landing between 15 and 20 instead of between 8 and 14, that was a very big swing for us, saved us a lot of money. So overall, we're calling the day a solid day, but it could have been bad, frankly. And we ended up with a nice win despite the Patriots. Obviously, we didn't do well in the game market. The Patriots everybody was betting the Patriots like crazy, but we did very well in the props and we did very well on futures. So we ended up coming out with a solid win for the day.
You know, I'm annoyed at myself, but I'm not. So like the Rams, the game was tied. They had the ball at midfield. Gurley had a nice run. Called back from a phantom holding call, though there was some holding on the play. But at the end of the day, this is a classic case of like Occam's razor. The fewest assumptions. Like, don't get cute picking the Rams here. Like, this is Brady. It's more so it's Belichick against a young quarterback, a team that's, you know, has zero experience. And the coin flip plays the Patriots always make, and the young team does not.
I know what you're saying, but I would bet Rams plus three minus 110 again if they were playing on Sunday. There was nothing there that the Patriots didn't show me anything that I didn't know they already had. But I give Belichick all the credit in the world. It was Jason McCourty that made that incredible play, right, to break up the pass in the end zone.
Right. It was a great play, but it was a bad throw. Goff was,
It was a very bad throw. It was a very bad throw, no doubt. But I'm just saying there are a few plays here or there. It could have easily gone the other way. The Gurley run play they called back, that was a critical call by the official there. Now, I'm not saying that New England won because of the officials, but certainly that was a very beneficial call for the Patriots. But there's nothing that I saw in that game that makes me think the Patriots are any better than the Rams or the Chiefs.
Yeah, I blame Dee Ford still. I blame Dee Ford.
That would be tough to watch if you're a New Orleans Saints fan because they absolutely should have been in the game, and the Rams did nothing with what should have been New Orleans' spot in the Super Bowl.
I agree, and this goes back to the inexperience and all that. Like, I was really disappointed, but I hope our listeners took our advice on the props. I was very bullish on the under 48.5, 47.5 for the longest touchdown of the game. Obviously, the no touchdown in the first half we covered. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to you and I, this is not really a story, but, like, I went on radio at Will Cain's show. I went on SportsCenter and was just saying it does not make sense to bet Brady MVP. And to people who are not that experienced and, you know, learning this for the first time, I think that was some utility there. I was like, you're getting too cute. Don't do it because I, for one, in 2007, bet Tim Duncan to win the MVP of the finals, and Tony Parker won it. So it happens, and we need to be just understanding of value. And I think, again, it's a, probably a simple, elementary sort of concept for a lot of our listeners, but these are the stuff we – there's going to be – I don't want to grow – there's going to be adjustment period for everyone here.
Well, just take the minus 130 on New England money line, if that's what you think. I think that was the better play, for sure.
Right.
We got as low as minus 135, I think, on Sunday. But the money just kept coming in on the Patriots. You know, we ended up taking a $100,000 bet on the Patriots Sunday morning, -2.5 from a respected player here. And we really needed the Rams in the game. But there's so many markets in the Super Bowl that you don't want to get too bent out of shape over any one thing.
BetterX hit you guys up for a little bit on the Rams, right?
No. BetterX never surfaced here at the Superbook. I read the reports that he was around town and betting the Rams, and that guy finally lost a bet. Huh? Because I don't – did that guy ever lost anything other than – I know he bet some MMA with us a few years ago that lost, but I never saw the guy lose anything since then.
Yeah, maybe – so the Russian is cut, huh? Borrow a line from Rocky IV.
I guess so. I mean, he's still got a pretty impressive record, but finally lost one. Going against Belichick. That's questionable, BetterX.
Interesting. What was the crowd like as the handle was down this year from last year? And we talked about this. Well, let me ask you this. Just what was the crowd like?
It's a good crowd. A lot of VIP players were in the building. Mr. Siegel, who owns the Westgate and is I would say, almost entirely responsible for the new Superbook design here. And he's put so much into the Superbook and into the Westgate, and he deserves a lot of credit for everything that's going on here. He was here watching a game with a group of his family. There was a lot of Patriot fans in here, not many Ram fans. Do the Rams have fans? I think that was something that definitely hurt the handle. You know, last year you had the Philadelphia Eagles in there. The Eagles have such a rabid fan base all over the country. I think that was part of the reason why the numbers were down. And Patriots fatigue, I think, was part of the reason, too. It was hard to get excited about watching the Patriots in another Super Bowl unless you're a Patriots fan. Why would you want to sit there and watch Tom Brady check down to the running backs and receivers over the middle for 60 minutes again?
Well, some would argue that you need to bet on it to make that more interesting.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
As a man with five TVs would say.
Some would definitely argue that. I don't know. It was hard for me to get excited. And I know, you know, Ed and I were watching the game together, obviously. And we're watching Brady just try to check down to running backs. He can't even make those throws. And Goff was all over the place. And they're handing the ball to Rex Burkhead. And the Rams are handing the ball to C.J. Anderson. And we're just looking at each other like, this is the Super Bowl? I mean, this is ridiculous.
I know.
Where's Patrick Mahomes when you need him? I want to see Patrick Mahomes rolling out to his right, look away, and throw the ball 40 yards on a dime.
Yeah, I don't want Saints, to watch this. Saints-Chiefs would have been just so much better. Just Chiefs in there would have been. Here's my thing. When PASPA occurred, okay, Everyone wondered, oh, what's this mean for Vegas? It was a good thing for Vegas, except for two weekends. I felt Super Bowl weekend and maybe even a couple weekends for March Madness, because there are people who fly out strictly for sporting events, and those are the only two sporting events they do it. Otherwise, all sportsbook action is for people who are already in Vegas for other reasons, whether it be bachelor parties, conventions, couple getaways, whatever. And the counter to that argument was people from states that are going to have legalization visiting Vegas for those aforementioned reasons will already have the habit of betting on sports from their states that they reside in, that they'll be more likely to swing by the book, things like that. So it was good for them in those, I don't know, 48 other weeks. But those 4 weeks, including Super Bowl weekend, probably a little bit of a dip for Vegas.
I think you're, after seeing the numbers from this weekend, I can't disagree with you. I didn't think it was going to impact it as much as it apparently it did. So I was certainly wrong about that.
Part everything, right? Like, I may be accurate, and you may be accurate with the Patriots fatigue. And we talked about this even the weeks leading up to the game. when there's a low money line, you're not going to get as much of a handle when the money, instead of compared to when the money line's like 230, 240.
Sure. That's definitely a factor. But, you know, we've had a lot of Super Bowls in the last few years where the point spread's been pretty close to the pick 'em. I guess the Philadelphia New England one was what, 4.5 at the right. highest, or 5.
Right.
But
the Seahawks, right? Seahawks Pats.
That wasn't that close to the pick 'em. Seattle
almost a pick 'em. Yeah, I went from -1 to +1 the other side. Yeah.
Yeah. So we really have haven't had a really big Super Bowl money line. I think you'd have to go back to maybe the Saints Colts game to find one. It's been a while since we've had a pretty big money line in the Super Bowl, but certainly this one. It's not good for handle on the money line when you're dealing -130, +115, -135, whatever the case may be.
Well, the million-dollar bets, it's, you know, you're getting 1.3 to win a million instead of like 1.6 and
right.
stuff like that.
But I do think, well, I'm not going out on a limb here, but certainly Kansas City, LA, or Kansas City, New Orleans would have been much better for our prop handle. I just don't think there's that much interest in betting all these Patriot players and props for the millionth time. People just didn't get as excited about it.
I would agree to that. We have some mutual friends who are prop bettors, and they were just so miserable when the Patriots won.
It was a hard game to get excited about. Again, unless you're a fan of the Patriots, certainly I don't blame them. I would love to see one of my teams end up in the championship round 9 times in 20 years. But if you're not a fan of that team, why would you possibly want to see it again? It's not as if they play some appealing brand of football.
Well, they have at times. Obviously, the 2017 was insane.
For sure. No, even I'm their talking defensive, about right now.
Yeah, their great defensive teams in the early 2000s were exciting. Look.
Yeah.
We've beaten it down. We know there is some Patriot fatigue that happens, and the other reasons. But it, you know, I noticed in the conference championships when I was there in the sports book, it was pretty tame, all things considered.
Well, the crowds probably aren't as big anymore, just because you've got over half of your handle coming in on phone accounts now.
Right.
I mean, you've always got to consider that. You know, we're talking about the lines and the crowds here in the book. We're talking about it all day Saturday, Sunday morning. It's never going to compare to what it was 6 or 7 years ago before everybody in Las Vegas had a phone account. Pretty much all your locals now bet almost exclusively on phone. I don't know why they wouldn't. And a lot of the tourists came in and they were smart enough to get themselves a phone account.
Pay that man his money.
Do people come in and collect anymore, or do they just keep it in their account?
Well, the tourists will take their money out before they head to the airport. But, yeah, I mean, unless you want to maybe move cash from one account to another, or you're a little cash short, you might as well just leave the money in there.
Yeah, that's true.
We have some local guys that come in every day and deposit and then withdraw the money before they leave. And I've always wanted to ask them, like, what are you doing?
Why is that? You haven't asked?
I have no idea.
You might not want to know, man.
I don't ask questions like that, Kai. You know, it's none of my business.
Well, you know,
I'll tell you. Let me tell you boys this. I had several people this week grab me in the book and compliment the podcast, compliments to both of you guys, and say how much they enjoyed listening to this program. So I thought that was kind of cool.
Awesome.
That was very cool. I think I mentioned it last podcast, and if I didn't, I will now. A nice gentleman found me in the sports book when I was there on the night of the prop bet posting. And was like shook a little bit that he saw the and I told him I introduced Matt Humans from the podcast. He was also rattled, and I said we got to find Mr. Director. So he was a big fan, flew in from Portland, super nice. Took a picture with him, and
it's cool.
You know,
he was shook to meet Matt Humans. Wow.
Yeah, he was just it was a lot to take. Maybe it was the volume of props on the board and his jet lag. I don't know.
It's like meeting Kim Kardashian. Just blown away. You know? Imagine if we introduced him to Ed Sammons. Oh, yeah. My gosh.
What about Kai? Kai's cruising around.
Kai. Talk about starstruck.
Well, you know what this also means?
What's that?
This has been Baby Bankroll Bonanza.
Congratulations, Mr. Director. Your name will be engraved first on the trophy.
Hey.
Yeah. Just put me down as the guy who lost less. Yeah, that's quite an honor.
You know what I really should have done in the last the last one. I should have bet the house on no touchdowns first half.
Yeah.
Should have really gone down swinging. That would have been a nice comeback.
Oh, yeah.
I actually gave out a winner on this program last week. I mentioned I liked Charles Oliveira.
I haven't gotten there yet. Jeez.
Oh, come on. I'm sorry.
It's called a rundown, Murray. trying to produce the thing now? You're already the star.
I give out so few winners on this show that I have to just wedge that in there. I got to make sure we get that in there before I hang up. Oh, I apologize. I apologize. Mean,
gosh, you know.
You're right. No, you're absolutely right. I'm wrong.
So Johnny Hecker did get there. No pass attempt, -550.
That's true.
That was one I really went on SportsCenter. Now, I was just so nervous that he was going to do it. I mean, you know, because the trolls come after you. You know, I will say this. The Twitter followers we have for the podcast were very kind and complimentary when there was no touchdown in the first half. One guy was even like, hey, I was rolling my eyes every time I listened to the podcast and you were mentioning it, but nice call. Like, so there was, but usually you never hear from anyone on the positives. It is usually on the negative. So I'm going out there saying, because it got to -750 Super Bowl Sunday, and I'm literally on SportsCenter. I gave out four props, but one of which was just like, lay it. Johnny Hecker is not throwing a pass.
Did it make you nervous at all? Because, I mean, the Rams punted so many times. Like, right. There's no way that you – like, when you made that bet, or if anyone out there made that wager, they probably weren't expecting the Rams to punt nine times. That would have certainly changed the pricing of that one.
Yeah,
Johnny Hecker was probably the MVP for the Rams, by the way. He had some incredible punts in that game.
I did get nervous. So you gave out some plays. James White over 4.5 receptions. Did that get there?
I don't think so. I feel like, Brady couldn't complete anything out of the backfield, it looked like. I don't think that one won.
Yeah, you were relaying the sharp plays.
Yeah, those weren't necessarily my plays.
Right.
I just gave out some stuff that I saw some of the guys that I respect more
Yeah, he only had one reception. He had one reception.
James White had one catch for 5 yards. The one that was really sharp, though, was that under kickoff returns. And we saw a lot of really smart guys betting that, and that was.
But I will say the opening kickoff was Zuerlein. That was brought back. That was like a touchback. Was like -300 for Zuerlein.
We lost a lot on that, to tell you the truth, here at the book.
So what do you think it was? Injury? Nerves? What?
I'm not sure, but, you know, the reason we did so well in the props, or one of the many reasons, was all the stuff that you and I talked about on this show last week that everybody was betting, none of that stuff won. Two-point conversion attempt, defensive touchdown, safety, overtime, all those things were no's. Gronkowski touchdown, Edelman touchdown, no.
Gronk got a little hairy, tackled on the two.
Yeah, and I actually bet that one for myself. so I was very pleased that he went down at the one. And then, or I think it was the two. Yeah, you're right, the two. And then Michelle scored the touchdown because, like I mentioned earlier on the show, we really needed a touchdown. So that was a.
Well, you said the sharps were on Gronk over 49.5, and he got there 87 yards. Now, if it was 89 yards and he caught the touchdown, do you think he gets MVP over Edelman?
We talked about that. I don't think so. I really think Edelman was the pretty clear MVP of that game. He was really the only one doing anything offensively on either team the first, three quarters of that game. Although the Patriots did give the ball to Michelle early in the game, and he looked really good, and then they got away from it for some reason. So I guess you can make an argument.
Because you guys were liable there, right? 40-1 odds, moved down to 30-1 on Gronk.
Oh, yeah. Edelman was one of our lost big on Edelman, too. But, yes, Gronkowski also would have been a big loss. We would have done much better if they'd given it to Michelle. And like I said, I was hoping they'd just give it to Brady, just the stupid winning quarterback argument.
Right, and then you just alluded to, I just want to remind our audience that you had such ticket count disparity with some of those. Successful two-point conversion, 99-0. And this was a week ago Wednesday. It got more pronounced as the weekend got closer. Two-point attempt, defensive or special teams, touchdown, Gronk to score a touchdown. I mean, you had literally bagels on some of those, so that's... That's quite comical.
It was really easy to post the props this year. Just no. That made it a little easier than last year's game, which was a little bit more nerve-wracking.
I'm disappointed. I had to post. So I went 3-1 on my picks for SportsCenter, but I had to post 4 for .com, and or 5. I went 2-3. I think I should know better that I when you're picking props, you don't pick things that just like you think could happen. You want to have like, oh, this is a good play. Like my under 48.5 yards. I thought there was good handicapping involved, and it came to fruition. Cool. Some of the other ones were like, eh, that makes sense, but it's not like there's an edge there.
Well, you don't want to force out too many things just because it's the Super Bowl. That's for sure.
Well, welcome to, you know, my job at ESPN. Like, you got to – you don't want to go on there and be like, you know, play Toronto Raptors money line here. It's a bad spot for the Clippers. And just wait. Let's wait for some American Football Alliance or that league next week. Which
yeah,
I know you're booking.
Everybody,
your odds making.
We're booking it. We got futures up on that. Yeah, everybody wants a Super Bowl pick for sure. I thought Rams plus three was a good play, but it didn't get there, unfortunately.
Doesn't mean it was a bad play.
No.
How did you guys, you know, the big question was how do you do Gurley, right? The Gurley props? And
yeah,
what do we make of Gurley?
What I make of it is he was obviously injured.
Right.
And I don't think he would have been playing if that had been a regular season game. But are they going to fine the Rams? Didn't they leave him off the injury report? Isn't that a whole thing?
We'll see. I mean.
Yeah. What I made of it was he was clearly injured. Although he had a few runs in that game where he looked like himself. But I have to think they would have been giving him the ball more if he was healthy.
Who knows? You'd also think they'd do more play action. You'd also think they'd do more hurry up. I literally think
true.
Like these guys get starstruck and the sense of urgency is lacking. I'm convinced of that now.
Well, certainly it's old hat for the Patriots. What can you even say about a coach and a quarterback duo that have been to the Super Bowl 9 times?
That is pretty ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
It is insane if you think about it. Like, just insane.
Yeah, and they're going to... There's no reason why they can't go back next year. I mean, I know Brady's old, but it's not as if Brady did anything in that game, and then they won the Super Bowl. So there's really no reason to think they can't just go right back next year.
Oh, those pesky underdog Patriots.
Oh, yeah. They managed to even convince everybody that they were the underdog. They were favored in two of their three playoff games.
They were underdogs once this entire season except for, and that was the Chiefs game.
And then Belichick's going, everybody counted us out. Nobody counted them out. I mean, we knew the whole time that they didn't have a particularly talented team by their standards, but we always knew that they had Belichick. And anytime you have Belichick, you've got a shot.
Sounds to me like you guys a couple of bookies.
All right, Murray, you got to get out of here just real quick. You, one for one on the UFC. I promised you'd be able to gloat about it, so well done.
Thank you. Charles Oliveira, good win. I got a big UFC bet coming up on March 2nd. We can get into that later.
Ooh,
I really like a play.
That's a
March 2nd, UFC 235. I'll be at the fight at T-Mobile Arena unless they decide to move the venue on 6 days' notice out of the state.
Why would they do something?
What are the odds on that one?
What are the odds on that? Apparently they're pretty good, Kai. You wouldn't think so, but they are. So yeah, I got a big play March 2nd.
All right, man. Well, good luck with that, and we'll obviously connect soon. But real quick, you guys take down the NBA futures during this rush of trade deadline?
No, Ed and Jeff were making adjustments after that Philadelphia trade this morning. I thought that was a good trade for both teams. Philadelphia bringing in Tobias Harris, and the Clippers got that unprotected Heat pick in 2021, which could be a valuable chip for them. So that trade made sense for both teams. And the Eastern Conference is wide open, man. You've got four really good teams all neck and neck with each other to see who plays Golden State in the finals. So the Eastern Conference playoffs should be really good this year.
Yeah, especially that second round. As a Laker fan, yeah. I'm worried about the Clippers getting into the Anthony Davis sweepstakes following that trade. So well done by, guess who, the logo, Jerry West. Murray, you're our logo here on the podcast. You are the glue here, the man that stirs
that.
The drink, and the winner of the first Baby Bankroll Bonanza.
I appreciate
your check
guys.
Is in the mail.
Let's go.
Murray.
I appreciate it.
Well done.
It was a fun NFL season, but I'm glad to get into some other sports here in the next few weeks.
All right, bud. All right, bud. We'll connect the next podcast.
All right, fellas. Take care.
All right, we'll wrap things up after a word from one of our sponsors. All right, Kai, that does it for the football season. Any confessions of a non-gambler for this particular podcast?
Yeah, a huge confession of a non-gambler. I'm a non-gambler. That prop paid off, man.
Yeah, it did.
When I got the text from you at like 20 seconds to go in the second quarter, it read something like, "Are you still laughing?" And I was like, "Dang, how does he do this?"
You knew it was coming, huh?
It was awesome, though. I mean, obviously, you know, speaking seriously, you're somebody that I obviously respect in this space. This is something that you've been doing for a long time. But in situations like that, when you see something that seems so ridiculous in my mind to come to fruition, it just makes you, for one, enjoy the game more, but for two, say, wow, this is something that you really have to look at from different angles, not, you know, conventional wisdom.
Well, yeah, obviously, if it was a 50-50 prop, I would have said, yes, there will be a touchdown in the first half. But you had to understand the circumstances. And, I mean, I talk to people who know this stuff, maybe not pro bettors, but cover this stuff, and they were like, I'd make a yes-no prop, like, minus 1,400 plus, like, 950 or something like that. And I felt that was low, but I talked to someone who said 18-1 was a bad number even after they moved it to 100-1. I'm surprised they offer these kind of payouts, especially in what's called index betting, when there's a large a bunch of options, and then it's one-way betting, meaning you can only bet one side. It's not a yes-no prop.
Right, right.
Like the MVP, you can only bet Edelman to win MVP. You can't bet Edelman not to win MVP. That's what's called one-way betting instead of two-way betting, which is like a point spread. You can bet both the underdog and the favorite. So I just felt, and then clearly people beat me to it, and even the 500-1 on no touchdowns in the game, I know offshore markets were offering much higher odds, but they just offered 500-1, and it's interesting that Murray said that Ed Sammons remembered that these sharps and pro bettors just bet 100-1 blindly.
Yeah, that was very interesting.
Because it makes sense. I mean, I correct me if I'm wrong, but I really think the math is like, if these two teams played 100 times, how many times would there be, in this case, no touchdown in the first half? And that would be, the odds are saying once in 100 meetings in a Super Bowl, when you factor in the rust, the inexperienced quarterback, Brady not looking that great. I was saying it all along. The Patriots' offense isn't as potent as they looked the last 2 weeks or last two games, because the Chiefs' defense stunk, fired their defensive coordinator, and they just caught the Chargers in a flat spot.
Right, right. Very true.
How do you feel about the Giants led by Eli Manning for next year?
Honestly, even though we had our HOF talk, I really hope he is not our quarterback going into
but
the
he's
next
a Hall of Fame. All right.
How do you feel? And you alluded to this earlier, but we're taping this on a Wednesday afternoon. How do you feel about Anthony Davis' watch?
This is like the worst time you could have asked me, given LeBron, where he was sitting on the bench, the 40-something point blowout.
Oh, man. Poor Ingram.
Yeah, I mean, they're a mess right now. I hope it doesn't cost Walton his job. I'm a fan of Walton. But it just, there's a lot of bag. Look, I said, I don't know, 5 years ago, 6, 7 years ago, my buddies in Vegas, their radio show, and I said the Lakers will not win another NBA championship in my lifetime. And wow. They all thought I was crazy. Like, what are you, terminally ill? I'm like, no, it's just so many things have to go right to win a title. You have to get lucky across the board. And then you have to get lucky that there's not a team like the Warriors lurking. Like, we talked about in the pod, the Cavs team with Kyrie Irving, Kevin Love, like that team wins an NBA title most years, but they just happen to face the Warriors. But even getting to that point, like, yeah, you get LeBron, which takes an incredible amount of luck, but you have to get health, right? So even LeBron got hurt, Lonzo Ball's hurt, Rondo got hurt for a little bit, and just the moving pieces, the drama of the locker room, so much has to go right, and you usually have about 3 or 4 teams win a title in a decade span, because there's some teams that repeat, maybe then go alternate every other year, like the
right.
Spurs.
Especially, yep, NBA special.
I just think you have to get so lucky with ping pong balls, free agency, and then all the competitive advantage the Lakers had over the years back in the day is gone. Like, these players live in L.A. in the offseason. They don't need to play for the Lakers in order to live in L.A. And the Hollywood reach, like, these guys are global stars. LeBron was a global star in Cleveland.
Right, right. That big market stuff doesn't play.
Yeah, and I didn't have faith. And there's a little bit of like Lakers, not even a little, a lot of Lakers elitism where they just think we're the Lakers.
Like the Yankees, yeah.
Yeah, like when they scheduled meetings and like embarrassed themselves with LaMarcus Aldridge. Aldridge did him a favor to give him a second meeting. I believe it was Aldridge. But they were like completely out of it with like Jim Buss, the knucklehead that he was. So they got rid of him. But I wonder if Magic's messing. There's just a lot of stuff has to go right. And I would take the field against the Lakers the rest of my lifetime.
Oh man!
But then they get Anthony Davis and LeBron, and then hey, listen, I want to be wrong here. I want the Lakers to win a lot of titles.
Your fandom wants you to be wrong,
right?
That's
but it just doesn't seem. You know, I'll take the 29 other teams. So we'll see what happens. It's not a healthy situation right now. There's a chance the Lakers miss the playoffs, but that happens.
If the Lakers do not get Anthony Davis. Is the second half of the season, would you just tank or would you at least
No, they're not going to tank. Look, LeBron throws these tantrums. Like last year, trade deadline, they did the same thing. And then they ended up trading Isaiah Thomas, and then everything worked out, at least to a certain extent. They reached the final. So this is just one blip on the radar, so I wouldn't think to overreact too much. But it's not a good look. We'll leave it at that. All right, Kai, good stuff as always, man. Congratulations. I will take care of the baby bankroll bonanza dues that are due and make good on my bet. And congrats to John Murray, Mr. Director. You know, if he's Mr. Director and getting promoted, I got to be careful there.
Very careful.
All right, thanks to everyone listening, and really thank you to all those who were so generous with their time. I know it's the most precious commodity in life, and to give us your time and listen to the podcast, it means a lot. So we appreciate the interaction on Twitter as well. One person asked if the pod's going away. Silly talk. Silly talk. We got plenty of NBA. And then March Madness is around the corner, and we'll have some baseball. A lot of good stuff. We're just getting started here. A lot of good betting content coming up. So we're just going to be expanding more than reducing. So don't you worry out there. Thanks to everyone for tuning in. And we'll catch you back here on the next Behind the Bets podcast, which might be a while because I got some vacation coming up, Kai. So we might be a hiatus for a week.
Somebody's coming back to Vegas.
No, go a little bit farther away. So we'll reconnect soon here. I got to figure it all out, the timing of everything. But thanks to everyone for listening. And maybe not the best Super Bowl in the world, but a fun season nonetheless. Kai, and thank you very much, and congratulations.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Behind the Bets. You can listen and subscribe on the ESPN app or download and listen on Apple Podcasts.